Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We've spent the season of Advent in penitential waiting. We have spent, some of us, fasting. We have spent it in prayer and devotion, attending to additional services, steeped in God's Word, in the Psalms, and in focusing on the hope that is Christmas. I pray that you were not too caught up with the world that had you listening to Mariah Carey every day, multiple times a day, or even my favorite singer Bing Crosby's White Christmas, neither songs, of course, dealing with the true meaning of the Christ Mass, the birth of our Savior in the celebration therein. Perhaps you heard more Merry Christmases this year as opposed to Happy Holidays. I have to admit, I'm not all that offended by the words Happy Holidays when you recognize that what it really means is Happy Holy Days. And when you look at all the saint days around Christmas, it really is chock full of days where the church has an opportunity to gather and give praise to God for the martyrs, for the apostles, for the ones who have gone before us. But in case somebody does get offended by the words Merry Christmas, you may instead go around saying, may the joy of the birth of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, be filling in your hearts. Maybe they won't be so offended at that. Likely it'll be more offensive. Maybe you spent so much time this year in your newspaper, in the app that's on your phone. Perhaps your phone is similar to mine, and in the morning, whether I asked for it or not, when I roll over and out of bed and I pray, and then I look at my phone, it gives me updates right away. Perhaps you've been so filled with the sadness, the destruction, the decay, the death and murder that this world would have you so focused on. It has been a challenging year in that regard, hasn't it? We saw children slain as they were at chapel, murdered by someone who did not understand how God had created him. We saw as children and people throughout Nigeria and other countries were harmed by those who would not have them have peace. And ultimately, we also saw a younger man whose life was killed. His life was taken for his confession of who Jesus Christ is. The world would have you believe that that was a political thing, as opposed to acknowledging that what that man stood for was faith in Jesus Christ. That he understood that it was only Jesus that could save him from this life. And I know that that impacted many of you as it impacted me. To watch as people rejoiced at the death of a Christian, of someone that would confess Jesus. The devil would have you concentrate on these things and be filled with despair, that you would focus on death, that you would enter into depression, that God-sized hole that is a part of every single one of us. The devil and the world would have you believing that you should fill it with substance after substance. That you should fill it with a screen. That you should fill it with lust and perversion instead of the one thing needful. The devil doesn't want you to focus on Jesus Christ. And so he'll play Mariah Carey once again. Not that she's of the devil. She's got a gorgeous voice given to her by God. But will you spend this Christmas season, the season that begins now, listening only to secular music, or will you spend it listening to the beautiful hymns of a church? The church that is the bride of Christ. The church that rejoices to have these songs of who Jesus is, of what he has done for us. Yes, it's easy to sing songs like White Christmas, or I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, or any number of these songs. But when you devote your life, when you devote your ears and hearts to the songs of his people, to hearing of what Jesus Christ has done for you, this is the way. Jesus Christ is the only hope. This is what our epistle lesson is all about. For St. Paul writes to the young pastor Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Yes, the world would have you convinced to fill yourself with substances, whether they are prescribed or not, with the lust of a woman or man who is not your husband or wife. The devil would have you convinced that the church is not a place for you to be. But you are here because God said, "Come." You are here because the Holy Spirit worked through the Word, and you have come so that you might be built up in your faith. Not that you would live like the world, but that you would live as a Christian. That doesn't mean you are perfect. It doesn't mean that you believe that you are better than everyone else. What it means is that you understand, because God has revealed it to you, that Jesus Christ is the only hope for you. That you can't earn heaven on your own. That your own good works will never outweigh the sin and misery that you would have on your own. You are called to be different. You are called to take up your cross and daily follow Him. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have hope, dear Christian. You have joy in the face of a world that is disgusted, that is angry at everything and offended. You have hope because you know that there's more than just this life. You know that the life that is to come is glorious for the one who has been called out of that darkness and lives in light. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God and He is Savior. And He is the only hope for our salvation. Yes, the devil would have you believe that there are multiple paths to the same God. The devil would have you and others believe that you can be saved through false religions, religions that do not worship the true God, but instead worship demons, as St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that you would be confused and blinded by the devil in religions such as Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, crystals, and Eastern fallacies and lies. The devil wants you in those sorts of things because he already owns them. And the devil rages against the bride of Christ. But the bride submits to her bridegroom, and she trusts that he will provide for her, that he will protect her, and that he will lead her. This Jesus is the hope of salvation for the whole world, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We know that it's not our works that save us. We know that it's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that provides us salvation. But now, living as saved people, living as people who are born again in water and the Word in the Spirit, the good works that God works through us shine light unto who He is. No, those good works that you do day in and day out do not save you, but they show others the salvation that belongs to you because of Jesus. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The reality, of course, is that others will despise you for believing that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the only hope of salvation. But never lose sight that he is the judge, that he is the King, that he is the Lord. Why are you gathered here on Christmas Eve? It's so that you might be reminded of what God has done for you, that you might pick up your cross and follow him. This epistle lesson is a perfect lesson for Christmas Eve, when people gather throughout the world to hear the message of Jesus Christ. For this message reminds us that salvation belongs outside of us, and that we cannot comprehend it, but that God has done it for us. Let the word of God speak unto us. Let it exhort us. Let it rebuke us for our disbelief. When I struggle to understand how Jesus could take on flesh, how the eternal God, the one by which the heavens and the earth was made, could become a man, could take on flesh in the womb of a virgin, could spend those 9 months growing as many children do, to be born, to be nursed, to be cared for, to be taught and instructed in the faith, in language, even though he is the very word that created all of it. Christmas Eve is a time where we are reminded of this Jesus, of his birth for us. We hear the story of the shepherds. We hear the story of the angels that cry out, "Glory to God in the highest." We hear the story of a young virgin girl and a man who loves her, a man who would foster this child that was not his by blood, but that he would care for, that he would lead, that he would protect. This is the story of God in the flesh, who lived a perfect life. Why are we gathered here tonight? Because he gathered for us. He draws all people to himself. He goes to a cross, exchanging the wooden manger for a wooden tree cross. He was placed into that rough manger, a feeding trough. And for us, he is the bread of life. He is then placed to the rough-hewn cross to die for the sins that we have committed. Not because we have earned it, not because we have deserved it, but because he loves us. So, dear child of God, this day, for the whole 12 days of Christmas that are coming up, through the season of Epiphany, rejoice. Wish people a Merry Christmas. Remind them of what the Christ Mass is all about. And tell them why you have joy. Why you have hope. The devil, death, and your sin have been conquered. Let them see Jesus. The church sings, "My heart for very joy must leap, my lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.